chapter 22 today. As we continue our series through the Articles of Faith, and you can see the communion set up here. Today's Article of Faith deals with the Lord's Supper, or what we know as communion. And I just want us to think about that for a few minutes. You might think, well, that's something we kind of do, you know, it's just kind of part of what we do. Well, it's more than that. And I think it's good that we understand what all is happening when we take the Lord's Supper or when we take communion. Last week we talked about baptism, and we talked about the fact that baptism is one of two what we know as sacraments or sacred moments in the life of the church and in the life of the Christian. Now, what makes those sacraments sacred? What makes them special? Well, it's the fact that Jesus himself either started them or participated in them. Now, we didn't, last week you talked about baptism. We know Jesus didn't start baptism. It was going on already. I mean, we talked about the fact that he came to John the Baptist or John the Baptizer in order to be baptized. So it's not something that Jesus initiated, but he did participate in it. Well, today we're going to be talking about the second sacrament, that of the Lord's Supper or communion. You've heard it talked about probably as the Eucharist or the Lord's Table. A lot of different names for what we're going to talk about today, but the Article of Faith actually entitles it the Lord's Supper, and it refers to it that way because Jesus actually introduced it. This is the sacrament that Jesus started. It had not happened this way before Jesus shared that meal with his disciples in that upper room. He started it, he introduced it, and now he invites us to take part in it. Here's what the Article of Faith says. We believe the communion supper instituted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a sacrament proclaiming his life, sufferings, sacrificial death, resurrection, and the hope of his coming again. The Lord's Supper is a means of grace in which Christ is present by the Spirit. All are invited to participate by faith in Christ and be renewed in life and salvation and in unity as the church. All are to come in reverent appreciation of its significance and by it show forth the Lord's death until he comes. Those who have faith in Christ and love for the saints are invited by Christ to participate as often as possible. So I've already been asked this morning, before I forget to mention it later, we talk about here all of those who basically are born again believers are invited to come. You do not have to be a member of this church. At the end of this service, we're gonna take part in community. You do not have to be a member of this church. You could be here for the first time. But if you are a born-again believer, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we welcome you to the table of the Lord with us. The scripture reading today is found in Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 7. And here's what it says. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Father, we thank you for your word. We pray your blessing on it today. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. What's happening? What is actually taking place when we come to the table? There are three things I want us to think about this morning. And the first one is this. When we come to the communion table, when we come to the Lord's table, we are remembering. We are remembering. Do you ever find yourself just randomly remembering something from your past? I mean, you might be driving down the road, you might be listening to the radio, you might be looking at something on Facebook or whatever, but all of a sudden, you know, some of these memories just come back to you from your past, and maybe you don't even realize what triggered it or anything like that. And I found that the older I get, this is happening more and more for me. Now, let me make a disclaimer here. There are things that I'm supposed to remember that I forget. And there are some things that I probably should forget that I remember. But it's just kind of one of those things. And it seems to be happening for me more often. And really over the last couple of years, I've made a deliberate effort to really reconnect with some people from my past. Maybe it's family members I haven't seen in a long time. Maybe it's friends from high school or their parents. When I went back home for my sister-in-law's funeral a couple months ago, I had the opportunity not only to catch up with some family members and other people there that I grew up going to church with, but I had the opportunity to go back and talk with my high school band director. I kind of set up a time. I called and set up a time. I've kind of made it a point to try to reconnect with people from my past, and those things always kind of bring up memories. Sometimes it's a phone call or a Facebook post. My brother, especially James, my older brother James, we get to talking sometimes, and he'll say, "Hey, you remember this? You remember when we did that?" I said, "Oh yeah, I remember. How could I forget?" I said, he'll say, did you ever tell mom and dad the truth about that? I said, "No, are you kidding?" Now, I know that's not a good example to tell you, but it's the honest to goodness truth. I mean, there are things that even today, if my mom and dad knew about, they would probably come back to life from their grave and come back just so they could spank us or something. I don't know, but it's just funny how memories come back to us. We randomly remember things. When we take communion, we're remembering, but not randomly. We're remembering very deliberately. He tells us when we come to the Lord's table for communion, when we take the bread and when we drink of the cup, he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." He's telling his apostles every time they have the opportunity to share this meal from that day forward, they do it as a way of remembering Jesus. What are we remembering? We're remembering the life that he lived. We're remembering the miracle of his birth. We're remembering his life of love, a life of service. We're remembering the suffering that he experienced. And I want to think about that for a minute. We're remembering his suffering. What do you think of? When we look at the bread, when we hold that bread that represents the body of Jesus in our hands, what do we feel when we hold that bread? We think about his body. It was beaten, it was bruised, it was bloodied and pierced on the cross. And no, we're not holding the actual body of Jesus in our hands, but we are holding something when we take the bread, when we take that little wafer this morning, that little piece of bread or whatever it is should remind us of the very body of Christ, You know what I thought of when I was writing this message this week was I kind of questioned. I thought, I wonder what it must have been like. That group, that crowd gathered around at the foot of the cross that day, and they watched Jesus suffer, and they watched the blood flow from his body, and they watched until finally the last breath had been taken. But it was after that that I thought of. I wonder what was going through the mind of Joseph of Arimathea. I wonder what was going through the mind of Nicodemus, a Pharisee who became a secret follower of Jesus because he knew that if he professed his faith publicly, he would become an outcast in the religious society of the day. I wonder what was going through the mind of Mary. When they got permission and they came and they held in their hands the lifeless body of Jesus as they took him off the cross. They didn't have a lot of time because it was the night before the Sabbath. They had to get Jesus off the cross, and they took some strips of linen, and they took some spices and herbs that they had gathered together very hastily, and they as quickly as they could, they prepared the body of Jesus for his burial until they could come back and do it properly. But I wonder, I try to wrap my mind around what they might have been thinking, what it might have been like for them to hold the very body of Jesus in their hands and carry him and put him in that tomb. When we take the bread, it represents that body of Jesus. And he asked us to remember that. It's the same thing with the juice that represents and symbolizes the blood of Christ. It's the very lifeblood that flowed out of him that provides life for us. If it weren't for the blood of Christ, we would not have any forgiveness of sins. And there would be no eternal life. It's the blood that provides forgiveness. It's the blood that provides cleansing and purity. It's the blood that provides power for holy living. What thoughts and emotions do we experience when we hold in our hand that little cup with that grape juice in it that represents this blood? See, it's not just a ritual that we go through. We're remembering the very suffering of Jesus. We're also remembering his sacrifice, that sacrifice he made. The sufferings are a part of that, but what we need to remember here is that Jesus willingly and voluntarily gave his life. He gave his life as a ransom or as a payment for sin that he never committed. See, Jesus declared to his apostles that night that the bread was the body, his body that was given for them. He declared that the wine was his blood that was given for them. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, Jesus says this, "The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I can take it back up again. No one can take it from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. This is what my Father has commanded." You see, to sacrifice means that we give up something that would benefit us for the good of someone else. Listen, when Jesus sacrificed, when he became the sacrifice, he voluntarily laid down his life. He gave his life. No one took it from him. Scripture tells us he could have called legions of angels to come and call the whole thing off. But he didn't. Because he was more interested in doing his Father's will and more interested in providing an atonement and forgiveness of sins for all of us, for everyone who's ever lived and everyone who ever would live. He gave up something that would benefit himself for the good of other people. To sacrifice means to go without so that others don't have to. Have you ever done that? Listen, if we're parents, we know what that's like. We know what it's like to sacrifice maybe something we want, maybe even something we need. But if there's something one of our children needs more, then we know what that's. That's kind of an illustration. That's exactly what Jesus did. He went without. He gave up his life. He died so that we could live. See, this is what Jesus did for us, and that's part of what we remember when we participate in communion or the Lord's Supper. We're remembering his resurrection. We remember not only the death, but his victory over sin. You see, death has no power over Jesus. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and the grave." We're remembering the resurrection of Jesus, his victory over sin, his power over death. And this should cause us to remember that in him we have no fear of death because we have the promise of eternal life. So we're remembering. Here's the second thing that's going on. We're participating. We are participating. The article of faith states that the Lord's Supper is a means of grace in which Christ is present by the Spirit. Now, I want us to make something, I don't think this is an issue, but I just want to make something very plain. There are those churches who believe that once we take communion, that the elements actually become the body of Christ. We don't, it is not that for us. These are symbols, they're elements. They are signs that we use to represent the body and the blood. But it says Christ is present through his Spirit. So when we come together, when we take communion, when we come to the Lord's table, we can know that Christ is with us. And when we receive communion, we're participating in the life of Christ now. When we eat of the bread and when we drink of his cup as born-again believers, we are experiencing eternal life in the present. Now, that might sound kind of confusing, but I hope we do realize that when we talk about eternal life, we're not talking about just a quantity or living forever and ever and ever. Amen. We're talking about a quality of life now. John chapter 6, verses 47 through 41, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. Not will have, but has. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread which I will offer so the world may live is my flesh. Now, if you read that chapter, you know that caused all kinds of controversy because the Pharisees, and they just went crazy over Jesus saying that we had to eat his flesh to live. But Jesus says, my body is the bread. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is the new life that we have in Christ. And it starts right then. Not something we wait for till after we die physically. Eternal life, the quality of eternal life starts the moment we become a born-again Christian. Every time we receive the Lord's Supper, we are, as the article of faith says, being renewed in life, in salvation, and in unity as the church. We are participating in the very life of Jesus as he lives in us and through us. Here's the last thing we're doing. We are anticipating. Jesus told his disciples he would not eat this meal or drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. You see, every time we come to his communion table, we're anticipating, first of all, the return of Jesus that he promised in Scripture. John chapter 14, verse 3, when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. I mean, think about this as a part of the discourse. This is a part of Jesus' conversation with his apostles still in the upper room that night. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, so believe in me too. In my Father's house are many rooms or mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go, then I will come back so that I can take you to be with me where I am. See, when we take communion, we're anticipating that day when Jesus comes back and we see him face to face. But we're also anticipating his invitation. How many of us like invitations? We like to be invited. Well, maybe it kind of depends on where the invitation's for, but we like being invited to something, right? Because that means people care about us or they want us to be a part of it. Think about this invitation. The invitation to what Scripture calls the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints." And then the angel said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Who are the ones who are invited? Those who have confessed and repented of their sins, those who have asked forgiveness of their sins, those who have placed their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as our own personal Lord and Savior, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I guess we could think of it this way. Facebook didn't get this part. I guess we could think of maybe the Lamb's Book of Life is the invitation list. What do you think? If your name's written in the Book of Life, then our invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb is somewhere on the way for whenever that final feast is ready. What will that day look like? Picture this with me as I want to share with you one possible description of this event. Dr. Everett Leadingham writes this description of this marriage supper of the Lamb. "Imagine an eternally long banquet table that stretches from the night Jesus first ate the bread and drank the cup with his disciples all the way to the end of time itself. Then you will have an image of how all Christians have been, are, and will be included in the Lord's Supper. What an incredible image. See, today, in just a few moments, those of us who are here and those of us who choose to are going to come to the table and we're going to receive the elements, the bread and the juice that represent the body and the blood of Christ. And we're going to take communion together, those of us who are here in this room. But think about the day. Think about the day when all of us, everyone who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, one day every born-again Christian is going to be gathered in the same room and we're going to come to that table all together and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that'll be like? What an incredible day that's going to be. And this is the day we anticipate. That is the day we look forward to every time we receive the Lord's Supper. That day when we are invited to His banquet table for all eternity. But until that day, we have this day. We have this opportunity. We have this opportunity to share together in the Lord's Supper. I want us to think about what the Apostle Paul reminds us of in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, we should examine ourselves before we come to the table and make sure we're not partaking of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in an unworthy manner. So I always, always take time before we distribute and share in the elements, we always take a time of prayer, just a time of self-reflection before we distribute the bread and the juice. So I want you, each of us right where we are, just to take a moment to examine ourselves, our own spirits, our own hearts, and make sure that our relationship with Christ is intact, that there is no unconfessed sin. There's nothing that would hinder our communion with Him. Father, we thank You today. Thank You for this opportunity to come before You. Thank You for Your invitation to come to Your table. And Lord, now I pray that You would help each of us to search our own hearts. I think of what David prayed. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, Father, today we thank You once again for Your Son, Jesus Christ. The sacrifice that He made so that we could experience this moment together. We love You. We praise You. worship you and we honor you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Steve has a song he's going to play. I would like for us to start over here on my left. Those of you who would like to receive communion, as the music plays, come forward and just receive your elements, and then please return to your seat, but hold them until everyone's been served. So let's make our way up.
By love for her Lord, recklessly poured out a valuable essence, disregarding the score. It was broken and spilled out. A
we are reminded that in the same night that our Lord was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You have in your hand the wafer, which represents the body of Christ. And I would like for us just for a moment to think about what I said earlier. What does it mean? As we eat this bread, as we eat this wafer, what do we think of when we think of the body of Christ? The body of our Lord Jesus, which was broken for you, may it preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, may it preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you today. Thank you for what this sacrament means. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for willingly laying down your life so that we could live. And may we, as we leave this place today, may we live lives that proclaim you. May we live in a way where others can see your love and your grace, your hope and your forgiveness, as we look forward to that day when you come again. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing the doxology just in closing this morning as we get ready to leave, as our kind of our closing prayer and our closing blessing. If you would stand, let's get ready to sing and just... Thank you for being here today. We're dismissed.